Hey, Stephanie.
Yes?
So what's the difference between an RV show in New Jersey and an RV show in Colorado?
Beer.
Lots and lots of beer.
Just beer.
It was kind of surprising to see everyone walking around the RV show with their plastic cups filled with beer.
Surprising and fun.
The Colorado RV show last weekend, where we presented and opened up for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, totally.
It was like a big party.
Yeah. Food was better.
Food was better. You actually had like a pulled pork sandwich, didn't you?
Absolutely, and it was good. And I kept saying, this is really good.
I had the best chicken fingers I've ever had in my life.
Don't admit that you got chicken fingers.
I'm not ashamed of chicken fingers. And the RV, it was a huge RV show.
Yeah, I mean, we saw so many, I would say a variety of
RVs. And we're going to get to that.
Yeah.
But let's talk a little bit more about beer.
Beer.
Because one of our favorite moments from the show was all about beer.
Yeah.
So you and I walked into a travel trailer, and there was a couple about our age sitting at the dining room table, like really contemplating and discussing buying that travel trailer.
Oh, yeah. They were down to brass tacks on
that
trailer.
They were talking about the monthly payment.
Mm-hmm.
And the husband, or boyfriend, I think it was the husband, was drinking a cold beer.
He had a beer on the dining room table
in the camper that they were thinking about buying.
Right. Like when we walked in, I kind of felt like, ooh, maybe we should leave.
Like they're having a moment. But they were going over the monthly payment.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of had this epiphany.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, we could pay for this travel trailer if we stopped eating out.
Yeah. And then she looked right at him, dead eyes, and said, we could afford this travel trailer if you stop drinking.
If you stop drinking. And he was stunned.
Oh, yeah. There was a moment of silence, and then there was an eruption
from their buddy.
Howls. And, no, what are you talking about?
But I think also that he realized that she was right. that his drinking tab every month amounted to roughly the cost of the monthly payment.
RV budget equals beer budget.
I mean, look, in short, we had a hootenanny at the Colorado RV show.
Fun times.
And it led us to tonight's featured topic.
Can't wait.
So we'll be back in a second.
Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
Our featured segment this week is all about the tiny trailer. We were hanging out at the Denver RV show last week and couldn't believe the crowds that were gathered around the small campers. From beds to bathrooms to indoor and outdoor kitchens, these mini RVs can pack a lot of punch. We'll be talking about our favorite little cuties from the show.
We also have our second interview in our RV Park Entrepreneurs series. A little while ago, we noticed a trend of young families opening up campgrounds in hip urban areas. On this episode, we are talking to Todd Spencer, who along with his wife Donna is about to open Sentinel Peak RV Park in Tucson, Arizona. By the end of this interview, a visit to Tucson will be high on your list.
All of this and so much more on episode 25 of RV Family Travel Atlas. Hello, cutie. We heart tiny trailers.
So before we head into tonight's featured topic, hello, cutie. We heart tiny trailers, which is my favorite name ever for a featured topic. Good job, Stephanie. Actually, it was like a team effort
coming up with
that title. We wanted to catch up with mailbag and some other items.
Well, of course we did, because, come on, we've gone global.
We have gone global.
Right. And I really want to make this clear. We appreciate all of our local audience, our U.S. audience.
Yeah, we do. We
Look,
really, guys.
We wouldn't have a rally if it wasn't for you.
We'll never take you for granted.
But
when you start getting reviews and letters from Denmark and Australia, you start to feel pretty cool.
Right, right, right. Like, we appreciate our U.S. listeners just on a different level. Like, we feel like we could be BFFs with you, and we can, like, meet you
but
when
the
we
international
go.
Listeners kind of add a bit of cachet.
Right, exactly. Like, it's like, wow.
Yeah, and that review from the guy in Denmark on iTunes was awesome. It really just made our day.
When I saw this, I don't know. It was just like he wrapped up everything that's important to us in one review. So right. I'll just read it real quick, okay? So Mikkel B. from Denmark, yes, said, titled his review, "Love this family travel podcast." And he gave it 5 stars. Thank you, Mikkel. So he said, "I'm from Denmark, Europe, and we're planning a 5-week RV road trip in USA in 2016 with my wife and 2 kids. I listen to this podcast every week as it gets me so much useful information and tips in regards to traveling with kids and spending precious time together as a family. Furthermore, it has given me inspiration to do some more weekend trips here in Denmark with the kids, even though I don't have an RV. The time we have our family and our kids is so precious, so we must make sure we spend it doing something that will bond us together with memories that will last forever. Thanks." And like, if anybody,
he just cut to the core of what RV family travel outlets is all about.
Right. Like, if you could break my heart, right? Killing me softly. Mikkel was killing me softly, right? Because
with his iTunes review.
That's exactly what we want to do. First of all, he's going on vacation, an RV vacation with his family in the U.S. Like, love.
International travel.
And we love the Europeans that we meet in campgrounds. That's like
we
been
had
a big,
so much fun meeting some Europeans, particularly in Bar Harbor this summer.
Yeah, it's
of
one
Europeans
of their big
traveling.
Spots, and we really enjoy that. So that's part of it. But then also the fact that he doesn't own an RV, but that our podcast just encourages him to enjoy the time as a family. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, done.
Excellent.
Yes.
Now, we also received a really nice email from Dylan in Australia.
Right. He just thought he'd try to trump
so
Mikkel.
Dylan wrote in.
Denmark.
And he said, "Hi, just a quick note to keep up the good work and insightful pros and cons. You have confirmed my idea to bypass the pop-up camper with canvas walls like the Jayco Swan and go straight to a travel trailer. I got into you from the Road Trekking podcast, so thanks again to Mike Wendland.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
We also have 3 young kids below 7 years old who love camping. For the past 2 years. We have what is called a camper trailer in Australia. It's basically a 7x4 foot single axle box trailer with a big fold out tent on top. And then he has a DIY blog, which is giccampertrailer.blogspot.com.au. And he goes on to say, "I have improved a lot of things on it, and after being in a tropical storm and subsequent wet and mud, we were looking at a travel trailer this year called a caravan in Australia. We have decided with 3 kids with bikes and kayaks that a toy hauler style trailer is for us. I don't want to pay what the manufacturers in Australia want to charge, so I'm in the design stage of a self-built 18-foot trailer with slide-out outside kitchen."
Those Aussies.
Yeah, so I'm really not feeling very manly now at all.
And I don't know why he listens to
so
us.
Dylan
he's not going to get any tips
for
that.
Dylan is building his own 18-foot toy hauler with slide-out kitchen.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here drinking an organic iced tea.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You're weak.
Hey, easy.
Sorry.
So anyway, Dylan, thank you so much. I mean, that was so interesting to get that email as well. And we'll put up a link to his DIY blog so we can see the progress on his self-built trailer.
But again, the diversity. I think that's like our theme lately. We're like, we're so happy that we're reaching people in so many different areas because then we hear back from people like that and that's really inspiring for us. So
absolutely. Now, we had some other letters about last week's podcast. So episode 24 of RV FTA was our ode to the pop-up.
Right.
And we did. We got a nice, really nice response from a lot of people this week. So you had an email you wanted to share.
Yeah, well, the pop-up in general is a little bit, it seems like it can be divisive.
Like a flashpoint.
Right, exactly. Like people either think the pop-up is the authentic way or it's like.
And people that have had them or do have them either really love them or really hate them.
Right.
There's no one out there who has owned a pop-up who does not have strong opinions
about
a pop-up.
It. You're exactly right about that. So it was interesting because one of the comments on our Facebook page from a listener who I know is a long time time listener of our podcast. And he said, well, when I was listening, I wasn't really hearing a lot of great things about the pop-up, except for the fact that it's cheaper. And I thought, okay. Like, I thought about that. I was like,
And you thought that was a big deal.
And I was like, well, yeah, because being cheaper is a huge deal. What it might mean is whether someone or out
gets into the RV lifestyle. Particularly when you're talking about buying a used pop-up camper,
yes,
it's the easiest way to get in the game.
Yes.
Because you can, like our camping buddies Joe and Ashley, find something for $1,000 or less even.
Right. So you can poo-poo money, but for most people, you know, money talks. Like, that's the bottom line. I want to do this, but if it costs me too much, if I can't fit into budget, if I don't want to give up my beers.
Listen, I think, too, that for the first purchase, money matters so much more because you're just not sure how much you're going to love
yes.
it, how much you're going to use it. Once you get into RVing, I think that we all start getting a little bit more footloose and fancy free with the money.
Well,
because we love it so
you
much.
See it
We're
as
willing
a
to
value.
Spend more.
Right.
That first purchase can be mm-hmm. about pinching pennies.
Right. So I just think that money is a big deal at the beginning, and money is the reason why we hate our pop-up so much, because we spent too much on it.
Right.
And I think
we lost money.
Yeah, and that's what we counsel people. And we actually got an email from somebody who basically said
had a listener from Georgia wrote in and said, "Hi, Stephanie and Jeremy. I love the continued thinking and debate of the merits of pop-up campers." And I just love the fact that he says that we're thinking and debating, because it makes our podcast sound
it's like our marriage
very
in a nutshell.
Academic.
Thinking and debating.
He goes on to say, "We are still looking at our first purchase and had previously not considered a pop-up as an option. Now perhaps we shall. I think with a proper frame of mind and goal, it might be a good option. In taking your advice, we would not consider a new buy, but a used, well-kept model, and estimate that we would mature out of a pop-up and into a hardside travel trailer in about 2 to 3 seasons. My wife doesn't have great experiences and memories of camping as a child, and I do have them.
Yeah.
So it is wise to keep the investment small just in case it becomes an abandoned pastime. Excellent work each week. Please continue."
Yeah.
And so I think this this guy nailed it, really. It's just about making a smart financial decision and not buying a really expensive pop-up, ending up underwater,
right,
and having a really hard time buying the second purchase.
I love the way he said, buy a used pop-up with the idea of maturing into a trailer if we use it enough.
So you're ready to make a smart second purchase, which is always the more educated purchase and the one that's going to be better for your family.
Yeah.
Okay, now we just want to talk a little bit more about the Denver RV show last week, because we had a blast.
We were in Denver.
Okay, we were in Denver, Colorado last week, and we almost got stuck
in
Denver,
Colorado. Well, we were in Denver for longer than planned.
Because our flight home was canceled.
My gosh.
And we ended up having a nightmare of a day. Monday, taking separate flights home, and I almost ended up being in Denver for 2 extra days.
Well, and it's so funny that the RV Family Travel Atlas couple, like the people who will only travel in RVs.
Yeah, we're constantly talking about how we hate airline
right.
travel.
And we wind up, we got to
we
the airport.
We spent all day Monday in the airport.
All day
Four
Sunday.
4 hours in line.
We got to the airport on Sunday for our flight out, and our flight was canceled 45 minutes after we got there.
Oh, we were sitting down eating a pizza or something, found out our flight was canceled.
Wolfgang Puck Express.
That's where the nightmare began.
Yeah.
And
it lasted.
You ended up booking a flight home for the next night, which stopped in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was going to be there a whole other night, but I got on standby the next day. I was 15th on standby, and I made it onto a direct flight, and I beat you home, girlfriend.
You did. Minor miracle. Yeah.
Minor miracle. So we made it back, but we did have a great time.
And we make it back, and then these RV travelers, I'm sitting there swearing, like, to get me on a plane in the future.
Oh, she said cuss words.
No, I mean, like, I'm swearing like I'm saying.
Oh, but you were saying cuss words. Stephanie was cursing.
I'm like,
she was
crying. I was crying. My poor babies were at home.
Well, because our kids were
it
at home.
It was hard.
It wasn't easy. But listen, yeah. Let's go back to the good times.
Okay, but we had fun there.
We had so much fun at the RV show.
I would prefer to be RV traveling.
We really enjoyed meeting in person Mandy and Jason.
Yes.
And having lunch with them at the RV show. So we wanted to say hello to them and thank you guys so much for coming to the seminar and hanging out with us.
Mandy and Jason are listeners of the podcast. They're great. Like, they comment on Facebook, on Instagram. Like, is it Mandy the one who originally made fun of my accent? I think she is.
Oh, maybe she is.
I think she is. I
somehow
have to go
forgot
back.
About that.
Right, because we didn't really know.
Maybe Mandy's not so nice after all.
Right.
No, Mandy's great.
So,
and Jason's great.
They came to our seminar. Then we had lunch together.
We had a really nice lunch with them. And they had adorable kids, by the way.
Yeah. Twins, the same age as ours.
Three boys.
And they have three boys, too. So, you know, we connect. So then we have to make something clear. Manny and Jason don't yet have an RV.
They're shopping hard. They are shopping hard.
And eventually they're going to age out of this. Like, I'm going to kick Mandy and Jason out of our club.
I think they're going to get an RV.
Yeah. Okay.
They've also recently started a blog called Campfire Travelers. They just launched it recently. There's already a lot of great content up there.
Yes. I think that she's like, they're like really pushing out content. They're getting a lot up there.
They're on Facebook and Instagram, so we recommend checking them out.
Yeah.
Okay. We also missed a listener named Debbie who really wanted to come and meet us, and we really wanted to meet her, she was sick. So we really hope you're feeling better, Debbie.
Debbie, thank you for listening and always like sending us notes.
Yeah, and also it was really nice getting to know the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles who were also presenting.
Wow.
And it was nice to actually have breakfast with them when they were...
We did. Yeah. Yeah, we met the Teenage Mutant.
They were staying at the same hotel.
We did.
Contrary to popular belief, they don't stay in the sewer at night.
They were actually in the same hotel we were in.
Yeah. So it was nice to get to know them.
They were the stars of the show.
Well, we were the stars
of the show.
You know what? Okay. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles do draw a crowd, but they've been in movies and stuff. Okay.
We just
have a podcast.
For like a few months, so really, who's impressing who here?
Yeah.
The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles have been around for decades.
We hung with the turtles, we selfied with the turtles, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the last thing before we head into tonight's feature topic is we wanted to talk about the big rally, the first annual RV FTA rally at Lake and Wood
in
Lancaster, PA, last weekend in May, which is not Memorial Day weekend, but the weekend after.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, miraculously, like, there are people coming.
Right. And we were not that, like, we reached out to some of our listeners that we knew were local first.
Kind of desperately.
Well,
like,
we were just,
you know,
like,
what, guys, we don't want to have
Would you be into doing this? Because, like,
we wanted a core group.
We did. We wanted to guarantee that we'd have friends.
Because we didn't feel stupid.
Right.
Yeah.
Who would want to? So we did that. And we kind of had a group of, I think, three or four before we even announced it.
And now we have it, like, 11 people coming to the rally. And all of the sites I reserved, I believe, are gone.
I know.
But everyone out there in listener land is still invited.
Yes.
There are plenty of sites at the campground.
It's just a little loop that's full.
But in our little circle, those sites are gone. But you could be very close by.
Let's point out, we have listeners that are in other areas because, well, maybe their rig's
driving
too big.
Driving a big rig. Yeah, and you were, like, we're both so happy. There's such a diversity of listeners coming, in a lot of ways a diversity, a wide variety of different RVs.
Yeah.
So we have someone coming in a vintage trailer. We have someone coming in a pop-up. We have two hybrids coming. We have a couple travel trailers coming. We have somebody in a big rig, in a Class A.
Couldn't even fit in our area.
He's on the other side of the campground.
And we might be having some people come and stay in cabins and stuff.
Well, they have cabooses and tree houses.
They have
some, like, really interesting.
Blah, blah, blah. And, okay, I have to say that this is the nearest and dearest part of this to my heart. We said number two in our presentation for reasons RV vacations are better. We said it's because campers are social people.
And they are.
And we felt that this has really touched our lives, like meeting people that are different than us and that are from different places.
Nice people.
I'm like, look at this. All these people don't know each other, and everybody's coming
and
together.
And rally it up.
And everybody's different, from big rigs to pop-ups and from
vintage
age.
Trailers.
We have from 2 years old
to people who are retired. Yeah.
I am so excited about that. That's what's the most exciting thing about this.
Yeah, so it's a really nice, diverse group of people.
Yeah.
And if anyone out there is interested in coming to the rally, send us an email and we'll figure out where you should stay at the campground. And I can block off maybe another group
of sites.
This
is a nice campground and it's fun. And
very well-reviewed campground. We haven't been there before.
And
I'm getting excited to go.
And let me tell you something. Activities are going to start to get planned.
You know what I'm excited about?
Now I'm going to get, like, started. All right, what are you
excited about? I'm excited about tonight's feature topic.
I am
really pumped about this week's episode. I mean, I'm excited every week, and I say excited too much, and Stephanie points that
out. I do. I always say stop saying you're excited.
But anyway, I love tonight's feature topic, so we'll be back in a second with Hello Cutie, We Heart Tiny Trailers.
Ta-da!
So for tonight's featured topic,
Hello Cutie, We Heart Tiny Trailers, we're going to break it into two parts. And we're going to talk about eight different models, eight different campers, because there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
And the first part, we're going to talk about four different teardrop trailers.
Mm-hmm.
Because these teardrops were showstoppers,
were they not? Yeah, anywhere that there was a teardrop trailer at this show, there was a crowd.
Absolutely.
I got there a little earlier than you. I was there on Thursday, and I was walking around, and Thursday was not that busy, and there were crowds. And that's when I first was like, this is, whoa. Like, this is big.
And then when I joined you later, not just crowds, mm-hmm. but, like, there was literal oohing and aahing. Like,
everybody,
ooh, look
well,
at that.
That's where the title of this episode came about, because I heard the word cute so many times as I'm standing there. Look how cute.
And they weren't talking about you.
No, it's a shame that they weren't. Thanks, hon.
But no, it was all weekend long. There was, like, we could hardly get photos of these campers, and we could hardly get in and out of them. So, literally, one of them we had to go back to four times to get a good photo.
Right, we were like, we'll go down at this point or whatever. We would schedule it to try to do that.
That's the first teardrop. And then in the second segment, we'll talk about four other small campers. But for segment one, let's focus on the teardrops. The first one we're going to talk about is the Tag by Little Guy Worldwide. And they were asking $13,900 for this one, and it weighed just under 1,000 pounds. Now, you put up a photo on Instagram of this thing.
Very first
and
day.
It got like 70 likes really quickly.
Really
and
quickly.
It was interesting. Using Instagram was kind of interesting during this trip, because we could almost gauge the level of interest from our Instagram followers for these different campers.
It was like an ooh and an ah from Instagram, too. You know,
it was a real response. And there were people tagging each other saying, I want this one.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was such interest in them. It was really fascinating to watch. So the Tag was the orange and white one.
The first one that I posted,
the orange trim, I believe,
was the teal one.
Okay. Oh, yeah. You're
right.
So what did you like about the Tag, or how would you describe the Tags?
Okay. So the Tag has the bed inside. Okay.
And it's really just a bed.
And just a bed. Like, you crawl in, and it is a bed that is totally surrounded by the trailer.
Is crawl in a dramatic
word? Well, climb in.
I'm a big guy, and I could get in and out of them
fairly
easy.
Here's my point in that.
Right.
There's no floor space.
It is a bed.
You climb into the bed, okay?
You know, there's some shelving, and there's a TV, and there's an air conditioner.
Don't forget the TV.
It's a real cozy bed.
Mm-hmm.
But you're basically getting a bed on wheels.
Yeah. Well, but you're not. You're getting more than that, because you open up the back, and there is a full kitchen.
Right.
There.
There's a sink. Okay.
Yep.
There's
the refrigerator.
Hot and cold water.
There's the refrigerator.
There's some shelving.
There's electricity plugins.
Right.
Okay. So here's the thing about when we posted this on Instagram and Facebook, most of the conversation was about price point. And everybody
I was going to hold off on that, but if you want to if you want to dive into price point, because you and I have been talking about the prices of these things all week.
Right.
Disagreeing a little bit.
The price point was an issue, because it's high for what you could get in
when you start comparing, we need to talk about that. I mean, so this was almost $14,000, right? You could get a much bigger travel trailer, though you might not want a much bigger travel trailer, because this is appealing to people that want to tow with cars.
This is about the price that we paid for our first pop-up that we
felt
had all the bells and whistles. But here's the thing.
A third
of
the weight.
What if you don't want to get a new car to tow something with?
All of a sudden, this becomes appealing.
You have a Subaru.
Something with a four-cylinder. Something small. Right.
And you want to tow a little trailer. You want to go into the very outback.
People tow these with certain kinds of motorcycles.
Yeah,
now, I'm not that educated on that topic, but I know that people can tow these.
You can tow these with anything. That's basically what they're advertising. And it's true. But here's the thing. The materials, like aluminum. Okay.
So, yeah, exactly. Let me say this, though.
Lightweight materials are more expensive.
So, it's not just the justification that, it's towable by a small car, so let's charge $5,000 more than it's worth. This is designed.
Yeah.
This feels like you're looking at an iPhone or something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the design is beautiful. And, you know, the materials look good to me.
Yes.
To the naked eye, these looked well-made, well-constructed.
Mm-hmm.
It was not just the typical travel trailer materials.
And every inch is considered, and every pound is considered. That's my point.
Right.
So you're looking at a product that's coming into. So I say to my husband, because like I'm not a big shopper like a lot of my friends are.
I was surprised you were defending the price all week.
I was, because you know what? I know people that spend $1,000 on purses. And that's what I kept.
Just 14 purses.
I was referencing that.
Just 14 purses.
Look, you people don't say that about purses, right? And you can't say that about
trailers.
Because
it's about design.
Okay.
You know, and these are beautifully designed.
People like the way they look.
Look, what I'm getting, and I'm not the expert here, but when you just kind of go on the forums online, I think people are happy with the quality of these for the most part, right?
Oh, yeah. You don't hear a lot of complaining about the quality.
Yeah, and there's a real community being built up around this particular company and the teardrops in general. So the tag was the little guy.
Right.
Okay. Now they had two tabs.
Right.
And that's really their main line of trailer, are the tabs. So we saw the Tab S. And the Tab S was the one with the indoor kitchen, I believe. Okay?
Yeah. So I think that the way that it helped me to think about this is that there's the one, the tag, with just the bed inside.
Just the bed and a nice outdoor kitchen.
You still get the stuff outside, and you still get the hookup. Right?
Yes, but you can plug them in.
The bed. Then you move to the tab. And the tab has different.
That's a lot. It has some floor. You can stand in it.
Right.
And it has a little bit of floor space.
And bathrooms and
they,
blah, blah,
and
blah.
And almost all of the floor plans in the tabs have the U-shaped dinette, which then becomes a pretty large bed, actually.
Yeah.
A comfortable bed for two people. So the S had the indoor kitchen. They were asking $18,900 for that, which, you know, look.
It's a premium product.
It's a premium product.
We're not saying this is cheap.
It's not. Yeah, we're not saying it's cheap.
But and it's interesting. There's a difference between cheap and interesting.
Well, that's true. That's
we're
true.
We're saying that if you have the money and you're looking for the perfect product for your lifestyle.
Right.
That's
where
you
said, if you've got to buy a new truck to get that $12,000 travel trailer,
it's not so cheap.
You're spending $40,000 or $50,000.
Yeah.
Now, so this one was $18,900 and it weighed about 1,700 pounds. So again, you could tow this with a Subaru. You could tow this with a lot of four cylinders. This is pretty easily towed. Now, I loved these. The tags with just the bed, I was not so interested in because I don't want just a bed on wheels.
Yeah.
But like the concept of you and I having one of these one day, maybe in retirement or just as like a second date night.
Well, that's
camper,
what it is. You're looking at it as like a romantic getaway.
You know, and I'm 6 feet tall and I could stand in this. Now, the bathroom was tight.
It's tight.
Wet bath. It's a toilet and shower together. It was definitely tight, but it totally
like most class
totally
Bs,
usable.
You would sort of be sitting like on the toilet.
Exactly.
To
it was
take
really,
a shower.
It was an awful lot like a Class B wet bath. Now, did you like the indoor kitchen on this?
I have to say, I think the indoor kitchen is extremely practical, but design wise, like when I'm experiencing them at an RV show, the whole outdoor kitchen gave me that same
so
sort
adorable.
Of feeling that a pop-up does, right? When I talk about opening up the canvas and blah, blah, like just that feeling of camping. The outdoor kitchen on a tab is like that too, where it really gives you the setup with the electric, the overhang, so you're protected
from the
elements.
You could cook in the rain.
Yeah.
You could cook in the rain.
At the same time, you're kind of getting more of that camping feeling. Don't get me wrong. All of these options are for people that want to feel like they're camping.
Yeah. Look, I like the indoor kitchen on the S because I like the idea that you
can
wake
more,
up and make your coffee and not have to like go around the back of a camper to make your morning coffee.
Somebody, I think, commented like, oh, I wouldn't want to make breakfast on a cold morning, like on, you know, Instagram or whatever.
So you lose a little bit of the adorable factor without that outdoor kitchen, but maybe it's a little bit more practical. And this, again, these were good looking.
That was so the second tag. Tab that we looked at
was the CSS with the outdoor kitchen.
So that had the U-shaped dinette
plus a little bench seat or couch.
Right.
I don't know if I'd call it a couch.
I don't know where the indoor kitchen was on the other
but
one.
But I like that extra seating. So in other words, you're not just having to sit at the U-shaped dinette. You could kind of sit, cross your legs, be a little bit more comfortable on that bench seat. And you could, I mean, two or three people could kind of sit in here and hang out and share a meal.
I don't know that we'd ever want to invite company over
two people would be very
comfortable. You have the couch, then you have the wet bath still. Then you have the outdoor kitchen.
And the bench seat.
Right.
Inside.
That's what I'm saying, the couch.
But let me
I call
say
it
this.
The couch,
you could keep the U-shaped dinette folded down mm-hmm. permanently as your bed and not be setting that up and down every night and still have a place to sit.
Right.
Which would be attractive to me.
And that's why that, the CSS,
right,
was my favorite. Personally, because
yeah.
it combined
all the elements.
Right. It combined the bed, the wet bath, and like the little couch all
right.
enclosed with that really sort of outdoorsy kitchen.
I would probably also lean towards the CSS as my favorite because that outdoor kitchen is so adorable, even though to me it's not as practical.
Yeah.
And the S with the indoor kitchen also had a nice window. As well.
Right.
Which
I
guess the CSS also had that front window, but it didn't seem as prominent.
I don't know if it does. We'd have to look at it again.
Window.
Okay, because
yeah.
when you lift it up, I'm not sure that yeah. there's that window above it.
Now, they have all kinds of extra features on these. You can get like sort of add-on tents, which would, you know, kind of double your living space.
And right, and they're really good at that. The add-on tents are, I mean, if you go online
yeah,
and you look at them, oh my gosh, to give yourself a little covered area, like an awning area and everything, really nice. I mean, they've got the accessory thing down.
They've got the accessory thing down. And again, I don't know the prices on those accessories. I'm guessing they ain't cheap. Okay? So this is not a bargain product. This is like a premium product, but it's stylish. It's well designed.
Mm-hmm.
I think the quality's good. If there's anyone out there listening to the show and you own one or know somebody that has one, we would love to hear any comments you have on if you love them or not. Now, the tabs and the tags by Little Guy Worldwide, those were not the only teardrop campers for sale at the Colorado RV show, people. We also met a really nice guy, and his name was...
Dean.
Dean. From Colorado Teardrops.
Yeah.
And you can find them at coloradoteardrops.com. And he also had these really adorable teardrops for sale made in Colorado. He was the owner of the company.
Mm-hmm.
And these came in at a lower price point, which grabbed our attention because we were saying, oh, the other ones, they're so expensive. They had
We really wanted to include this.
We wanted to include
of that
this
conversation.
To just let people know mm-hmm. you don't have to go to the $14,000 price point
right.
to get into one of these things. So he had his base camp teardrop on display and the MS.
And there was a crowd around it.
There was a crowd around it. And also
weekend.
Dean was like a nice guy.
Oh,
like,
so nice.
Dean
and
was a
he
cool
spent
guy.
A lot of time with us talking with us. We really appreciate it.
So you want to talk
it.
About supporting a small business owner,
yeah.
then you might think about a Colorado
they
teardrop.
They build these.
They build them in Colorado
the
and you can buy them on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know exactly how that works with the shipping or the pickup, but he said, you know, they're available at dealerships in Colorado.
This is the definition of a small business.
Yeah, and so the base camp teardrop, the MSRP is $7,300. Now, there were reasons why this is a lower price point, $5,000 or $6,000 less.
Yes,
but
so
it still seemed like a good value.
Right, so the concept was very similar, okay? A bed that's enclosed and protected from the elements and elevated.
And Dean
of course.
Pointed out that somebody that was about 6'3" came by and said, oh, I could never fit in that.
And crawled in.
And Dean said, oh, wait a second, sir.
No.
Would you please try? I'd like
mm-hmm.
you to, you know, climb in and test the bed out. And he said the guy was totally comfortable. And these beds are big.
Yeah. So because it's a nice protected area, okay, then the back came out just like in the tier, in
that adorable
the little guy
outdoor
trailer,
kitchen,
right.
But
it's not a plumbed kitchen. Back
and
there.
There's not a fridge. It's
now,
sort of like you
electric.
Build your own kitchen.
Right. This is set up to sort of build a camp kitchen in the
for
back
like a boondocking
according
kitchen.
To your specifications, which again I kind of like the idea of that because there's a lot of people that prefer to cook on
bring
a camp
their own,
stove
and they want
to
bring their own
that
grill
prefer
bring
to do coolers and everything
and
like
the
that
the shelving you could actually adjust
yes.
the shelving which was pretty brilliant
mm-hmm.
so
he
it
showed
could
us.
Fit your particular grill your particular cooler
so they really work with customers that might say look here are my camp equipment specs.
Right.
I want to build the kitchen around that. And then you easily plug it in and sort of set it up. So you get to your boondocking kind of campsite. You're out in the middle of nowhere, right? You're not pulling into like
right.
our kind of family campground.
Well, you'd be welcome there too. But you could be out in the middle of nowhere.
You could be out in the
one.
Middle of nowhere. You put up your you know, that hatch back.
Right.
And then you set up your beautiful camp kitchen just like you would at another camp. You don't have to put up tarps. because you're protected.
And there's a picture here of someone who has kind of put together their own kitchen in the back of one of these, and they have their huge cooler. They have their
Nice stove. Right? Like your water bucket.
They have their big water jug.
You know,
there's plenty of room here. It's sort of like build your own kitchen, and they're giving you a great space for it.
For all of you out there that listen to us that believe in authentic camping, but want to be comfortable sleeping, this is your camper. I believe that.
Yeah,
if you want to be an authentic camper, I high five you on that.
Right. Like, go for it.
But still, don't wake up with a crick in your neck, right? Like, sleep on a nice bed.
Right. I want to actually read the little description of the Base Camp Teardrop. So I have this sheet here from ColoradoTeardrops.com. Engineered for durable fun and adventure while providing you a comfortable night's sleep. The Base Camp starts with a reliable, comfortable, and light platform designed around a full-size queen mattress and ergonomic galley on a 2,000-pound suspension. Plenty of storage for you as you visit all the national parks and prepare fabulous meals from the galley.
And that's what they want, the galley, right? It's not the outdoor kitchen. It's not the indoor kitchen. It's the galley.
I like the fact that they mention national parks because you've got to remember that a lot of the national park campgrounds have really small sites.
Yeah.
And people like us in the 33-foot travel trailer can't get into all those sites. If you have one of these teardrops, you can camp anywhere.
Yeah.
You can camp at any campground in the country, in any site in the country.
And I want to one more thing about the Colorado Teardrops. You can get a lot of add-ons in terms of solar panels.
And they do have a second model.
Right.
They have
an off-roading.
They have a model called the Canyonland Teardrop, which comes in at $10,700. Yeah, and they do. They have add-ons too, and they have a picture here of a solar panel
but
option.
You could put the solar panel option on the other one that we mentioned too.
He gave a really reasonable price for that. It was between $1,000 and $1,500.
We were like, wow, that was reasonable.
That seemed pretty cool. So if you want to come in at a lower price point, if you feel like I'm not going to spend $13,000 or $14,000, check out these Colorado Teardrops. Yeah. If you want to go for something with a bit more luxury and more amenities, we liked the tabs and the tags, and we like what Little Guy Worldwide is doing. And it has to be said, I think we were really attracted to these things, these teardrops, because we know we can't have one.
No, of course not. And I mean, who knows if that's why a lot of people...
The forbidden fruit of the RV industry for us.
It is. There's no way that our family of five could comfortably sleep in any of these.
It wouldn't be... I don't know. You could put that much weight in there.
It is the idea of a life that we don't have, right? It's the idea of sort of maybe
footloose,
like...
fancy
free. It's like the Oscars of RVing. Like, it's like dressing up and going on a date night in a limo.
Yeah,
like, we're not going to do that.
They're adorable. And, you know, even if once the boys are, you know, in college or whatever, I don't know that we'd get one of these, but
I would love to try one. Right. We've talked about other options,
yeah,
like in terms of the Winnebagos or whatever, but, like, this isn't it. But we love... I mean,
I'm so curious, too. There were such huge crowds gathered around these, and I really wish I know if they were converting into serious sales.
It's interesting.
You know, I know Little Guy Worldwide is doing really well,
right,
and they're selling a lot. But I'm just curious at that show if they were selling
for all those.
So listen, we're not done.
No,
we're not done. That was four. We're going to come back with a variety of other small campers, from a truck camper to a hybrid to an A-frame, and then something else.
We're
getting crazy here. So we'll be back in a second with more of Hello Cutie, We Heart Tiny Trailers.
That sounded scary.
So you ready for more?
Of course. Let's go.
All right. So let's do part two of Hello Cutie, We Heart Tiny Trailers. I try not to say it's scary that time. Okay. So we have four more small trailers, lightweight trailers for the most part, and a real wide variety here because that's what we loved about this RV show is there are so many interesting campers and trailers that we just did not see at the Jersey shows.
The East Coast. And we went and we saw a different kind of life.
Outdoor culture. And there was such an interesting variety. So we have four more for you. The first one we want to talk about was called the Jumping Jack Jump Up Tent Trailer.
Right.
And these guys were situated right next to the seminar area where we were speaking.
So we were speaking in the seminar area, and the Jumping Jack Jump Up Tent Trailers were right next to us.
And it's not a pop-up.
So how many...
It's a jump up.
How many times do you think that I watched them?
5,932.
I mean, really, over the course of the four
guys. These guys were setting this thing up over and over again. And this thing can be set up very quickly. correctly.
Yep.
Okay. It weighs about 3,000 pounds, which might sound heavy at first, but we'll explain why, because there's a lot going on here. And I think we think it retailed for about $6,000.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Which, and what that struck me as a good price.
Oh,
after
absolutely.
Seeing what this thing could do, I thought that's a reasonable price.
All right. So let's back up. What is this? Well, you have what you picture as a utility trailer, right? With two wheels.
Almost like what a landscaper would use.
Yes. That's exactly what it looks right. like, right? Picture that trailer that a landscaper uses.
A really well-built
Then
one.
Put onto it a look of a pop-up. But when it's all set up, it just looks like a big tent,
a huge tent on a utility trailer. And it sets up easily.
Right.
And it looks fairly sturdy.
Yeah. So what it has are those sort of rods that go through it. That when you maneuver it the correct way, it basically
jumps up.
It actually jumps
up. Like a lot of the current tent technology.
Yes. Yeah. Instead of like being like a pop-up where you're putting in the rods. Okay.
And it ends up looking like a six-person tent about.
Yeah. And so the neat part about it is that you go inside. The base sort of package is like a single bed on one side and a single bed on the other, and a dinette in the
right.
middle.
And there's no sink. There's no hookup.
No, this is a dry
camping unit.
Yes.
Yeah.
But like a cool one. Like you're like, oh, this would be so much fun to bring out into the middle of nowhere and sleep in.
Cozy.
It is a tent off the ground, right?
Right.
Dry tent.
But it is so much more.
Okay. You can also buy additional little racks that make each side a double bed.
Right.
Okay. So you could have two double beds and still have a dinette in the middle. Okay. So that's all great. Now, the big part of this, when you fold it in to that utility trailer, you can put your toys on the top.
You can put two ATVs
yes.
on top.
A canoe, a kayak,
kayaks.
Anything
and
you
also,
want.
And also, you could literally just turn, you can take out the
yes.
tent section and just turn it into a utility trailer. Like,
yeah.
this, you could use this for camping, and you could use this for a small landscaping business.
So for people that are looking for value, my goodness.
This is kind of a guy's thing, too, to some degree. Like, you could see a guy who's like a hunter or a fisherman or maybe somebody who actually has a landscaping business.
Right.
Using this like crazy for work and taking it out on the weekend.
Right, because that's the point is you can use it in other ways. So you can get the value from it. Like, looking at that price point, you can get the value from it. And you could, like, load up all your fall leaves and bring it over to the mulch pile.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I think that was pretty neat.
I mean, I was sitting there looking at this thing saying, man, this is useful. Like, I'm not even a handy guy, but I would use it for the leaves. I would maybe use it to do some runs to the dump in
yeah.
town.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could take it camping with my guy friends on the weekend.
Right.
So check them out at jumpingjacktrailers.com. They were really nice guys,
yeah.
too. Okay. So our second small camper, and I really liked these as well.
And we didn't know that these were such a big thing until we had to go west.
I've admired them from a distance.
We've seen them.
They're built in Pennsylvania, the A-liner mm-hmm. A-frame campers. And after really spending some time in these, I really think I like them a lot more than
right.
the traditional pop-up.
We
looked at, let me just say which
okay,
one we looked at.
Ahead.
We looked at the A-liner Classic. It only weighed about 1,500 pounds, retailed for about $16,000.
All right. So what happened was a couple came up to me and, you know, not like a recently retired couple. Okay. After one of our seminars, but this is before you came into town. Okay.
When you were flying Footloose and Fancy Cray there Thursday and Friday.
So they walked up to me after the seminar and they were talking to me and they said, and they were explaining to me that they had the A-line. And I was like, huh, because I don't know a lot about this, but I love hearing about new things.
A-liner, dear.
What did I say? The A-line. Okay. So they were saying that they had one of the, I don't know if they had that company. That's my point, is that they had
an A-frame. There
right,
are
an
other
A-frame.
Companies. This company
yeah.
is famous for making them and has been making them for a long time.
So I start listening even closer, right? Because if somebody mentions to me something that I don't know anything about, I'm like, oh.
Like a sieve. You just
so,
soak it up.
Right,
like,
oh. Well, sieve things go through. But
sorry.
Okay. So they were talking to me about this, and the husband was going on and on about how easy it was to set up.
Right.
He goes, I can pull in, and he has this little PVC pipe that he, like, notched out so he could actually just lift the ceiling up without even having to reach too high.
I think they actually advertised that this takes 30 seconds to set up.
And he was going on about that.
And honestly, I think it does. Okay. I think this is like less than a minute and it's set up. Now, when you buy a pop-up camper, they'll be like, it takes 10 minutes to set up and it takes longer.
Forever.
This is a much quicker setup than the traditional
pop-up.
And
we watched
it. I promise you.
This guy said that. And then on top of that, he said, we go camping in Nebraska.
It's windy.
And I had an aha moment because I didn't think of that. He was saying, and then we heard over and over again at the show, there's a lot of plains areas out west.
It's apparently very flat in
Nebraska. We don't think of these things.
Yeah.
I know we did, but you don't think about these things sometimes. There's these flat areas that people love to travel to, and the winds can pick up.
Right. Well, this deals with that.
If you're in a pop-up, and the winds pick up like that, you can get canvas broken, ripped off. You're in an A-frame. You're fine.
Right. Now, it should be said, too, that this A-liner Classic, okay, it's the A-frame camper, but then they also have these pop-up dormers, right, which really gives you just about the same amount of space as a traditional pop-up, almost.
Yeah, so we felt like it was very light and airy. Like, we walked in, and we were like, oh.
The A-frames without the dormers do not look that attractive to me because you feel crunched in, and when you're sitting down, like, you want to be hunched over.
You did. You sat in one of
the... these pop-up dormers, it's like cathedral ceiling.
Yeah.
I mean, they're actually very spacious inside. These things only sleep four. They only say they sleep two adults and two children. So where the pop-up, the traditional pop-up can sleep, you know, 150 people, basically.
Okay.
It's just so much sleeping area. I mean, our pop-up comfortably could sleep like eight people.
Yes.
So this is definitely more for a couple or for parents with maybe two kids. But I really liked these.
And
1,500 pounds, man, they are light.
You know what I liked about these? And I'll say this about all the tiny trailers. They were for an audience. Like, it was like, we are building this for these people. And I felt like the A-frames, again, once I realized the audience, I was like, okay, perfect. And I loved it for that.
Well, I watched a video on YouTube where the CEO from this company was talking about who their customer is. And he said they get a lot of people actually downsizing, where the kids have flown the coop and the parents want something small again that's easily towed. And, you know, I could see being in something like this.
Yeah, sure. Like, we don't want to go back to the pop-up ever. Ever. We've said that before.
No,
and we've said why.
I actually could consider going
to
one of these.
To get the tent end sort of feel, but the ease of setup, well then, all of a sudden we're considering it. Okay.
Right.
So what's next?
So the next small camper, and this one again, this was getting some oohs and ahs, and another thing was it was red.
Red.
And it was a little
color.
Bit flashier, and that was a theme too for us, is that anything with color that was not just white with swooshes and swirls, people were really looking at it. People wanted to see color, like those Winnie. Those Winnie travel trailers that were orange and red and whatever.
Yeah.
So this is a Camp Light by Livin Light. And they don't call it a hybrid, but it's what everyone out there would think of as a hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
It's the 11FK.
It's a box trailer, and then it has
the tip out bed on one
tent
side.
10 beds, yep.
And this thing, I think they're asking $18,000 for this.
All aluminum.
That's the key. So they say no rust, no rot. Now, I don't know a single person who owns one. Okay, that's what the company says. No rust, no rot. And aluminum, it sounds like, Ford's making
F-150s
out of aluminum.
They
right
have
now.
A good reputation, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good material. And the amazing thing is this thing weighs 1,800 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like got the full-on size
Again,
of a hybrid.
Right.
Now, we walked into this and we really like this floor plan. It's not a very big camper, but we really like the floor plan. The box length's only 11 feet.
Right.
And then when the bed opens up, it's about 15.
So it's super small. It has compact, I should say, instead of small.
But
it has
didn't
a nice
feel,
nope. It felt very airy.
Yeah.
The tent ends. Let me tell you something. It's the same thing with
missed
the pop-up.
Them a little bit. Yeah.
Tent ends do everything to
so
make
you
the
have
space.
That. You have that big tip-out bed. You have a big U-shaped dinette.
The same sort of wet bath with the European kind of shower.
Which, again, was small, compact.
It's always going to feel small to you.
But it was but you know what? This one felt totally usable to me. I would take a shower in this and not use the campground showers.
It had a U-shaped dinette that could fold down into a bed and then also the bed.
And you'd have to climb over the dinette bed into the tip-out bed.
Which a lot of pop-ups have that style.
True.
Now, here's the thing. The salesman... was
very
sitting.
Nice guy, yeah.
Oh, wonderful. He was so cute. was sitting in this trailer with us, we were totally comfortable, right?
Like, yeah, it felt
we were
spacious.
Standing in there. He was
like,
sitting
it's hard
in
to
there.
It has an,
we
only
were talking for a while.
And the kitchen was not so bad either, really. It was a totally nice little kitchen.
Yeah.
Now, that price might seem high to people, but this is.
It's aluminum.
It's aluminum.
It's aluminum.
Yeah. I mean, I can't
Have
see
you
this.
Ever scrapped aluminum? It's worth,
yeah.
like, it's worth a lot of money.
I can't see this not yeah. being well made. And just to the naked eye, the construction looked good and the quality looked good.
Mm-hmm.
And look, if you're a seasoned RV shopper, you know sometimes you walk into units and you can tell if they're junk or if the craftsmanship is good. And this one, again, struck me as being
Oh, this was another one where there were no staples in any of the
right.
cabinetry or anything.
Yeah.
Again, there's a big difference between some of the mass-produced, bigger units
right.
and some of these smaller, sort of handcrafted.
Right.
There were no staples.
Yeah, this
That's
thing,
important.
This thing
it's
could,
a big difference.
This thing could last 10 or 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, it really could. Now, maybe the big surprise in terms of the tiny trailers that we
this
ended up loving.
This is so crazy.
Now, I have to say, I have been telling you for a while, Stephanie, I think you would really like truck campers. Those campers that pop onto the back of a pickup truck.
I don't think
and
you
just
ever
like,
said.
Oh, I did 10 times.
No,
and
no,
you
no,
just
no,
ignored
no.
me.
No, you never said, Stephanie, you would like. You always said, oh, I've heard a lot about the Arctic Fox. That's what you always phrased it like.
Well, Arctic Fox is somewhere out in the Pacific Northwest, and we don't see them on
yeah.
the East Coast. I've seen a couple at campgrounds, but I've never seen a dealer selling them. So when we saw these Arctic Fox truck campers, I was like, oh, we got to go check these
and
out.
And we didn't right away because I kept walking by them. What?
From the outside, it looks like something a fisherman would have.
A hunter, a fisherman.
To me,
it looks like an outdoorsman. It does not look like anything that relates to my life. Now,
but then you stepped inside.
For our listeners, this is a truck camper. It is actually what
rests
the bed
in the bed of the pickup truck.
So when you're driving.
Yeah. You can drive away from it. You can park it at the campground and then drive away with your
truck. Right. You put down the supports.
Yeah.
Right. And then you can drive away. So
but
it
they
just.
Are shockingly spacious inside.
You didn't get me in there until the second day you were there. And then I walked in and I was like.
She was like, oh, I could do this.
I still don't understand the amount of
it's
space.
It's almost like an optical illusion or some kind of trick. Like you walk in and it's like twice the size of what
I'm
it looks like from the outside. It's true.
How could this
well,
be on
it,
the back of a
part
pickup
of it,
truck?
Part of it is they do have slide outs.
Yeah. So now
these
they
have,
do.
They actually have slide outs. So they do look huge when
okay.
you're inside.
When you walk in, there is a full bathroom. And this is not a wet bath. You're not sitting on the toilet while you're taking a shower. There is a whole little area.
It is the wet bath.
It was separate.
It is a toilet.
I felt like it was bigger than the other trailers. I really felt like I could be in there and take a separate shower.
Well, there's a lot of floor space, too.
And then the kitchen was like, honestly, as big as my kitchen in my trailer.
We've had apartments that did not have kitchens this size. This was the Arctic Fox 811 truck camper. And by the way, these are not cheap. These are somewhere in the 30,000s. But they're also like sort of all weather. And they say you can have this out in like 0 degree temperatures,
right,
which
right.
is why it would be so appealing to the fisherman or the hunter who really wants to go far out there off the grid.
But then if you want a sort of a quote unquote towable, like, but then kind of be light on your feet, right? You leave it at the campground, easy, and then go. Like, you want something small, but then you can disattach
it. If it was just the two of us traveling, this would have plenty of space.
Oh, my gosh. The Climen bed, and the bed was so roomy and spacious.
Yeah, and the Arctic
Foxes, I couldn't believe
you
it.
Know, you're looking at that price point in the 30,000s for these, but they looked well made. The
Everything.
Cabinetry looked good.
Now,
everything looked
the
pretty
dinette, in a lot of these models, there was the option of a bunk.
Which we didn't see, I don't think.
No.
It was an option.
It was like, it was shown in like the plans, right?
Right.
That there was an option for these bunks over the dinette. Now, I'm not telling you that I would take my kids out in a truck camper. I'm just saying that when I walked in one of these, I couldn't believe.
Yeah, you could have two adults and two kids.
I could
in here,
picture myself in a truck camper when I had never once before
the,
in all
the
of
thing
our
is,
years.
From the outside,
in
it looks like a manly man thing. But then when you got inside, you were like, this is borderline glamping.
It
that
was.
These hunters
it was
and fishermen
so
are doing.
Cozy. It was like a little, it was like a romantic cabin on your pickup truck.
So listen,
nice.
If you've seen any small campers out there that you have loved, please drop us a note this week. Let us know, what are you seeing out there in the world of tiny trailers? So we hope you enjoyed our segment, Hello Cutie. We heart tiny trailers.
We heart you.
We'll put up links for these 8 campers that we have reviewed. And we'll be back in a second with our next segment. So this week, we have our second great interview with the campground owner of a more urban RV park.
Very exciting.
Now, back on episode 21 of RVFTA, we interviewed Dan and Aaron Thiem from the In-Town Campground in Nevada City, California. We had a blast talking to them.
Yeah, this is really exciting for us.
It's exciting for us, and we really do feel like there's a trend with these kind of more swanky urban RV parks. So this is the second in the series, and we see this going being an ongoing series. We have a few more interviews that we're lining up. So for this week's show, we talked to Todd Spencer, who was really, really lovely and interesting.
Oh, absolutely.
And he's the owner of the Sentinel Peak RV Park in Tucson, Arizona. And it is located right next to a light rail system that takes you right into Tucson.
Yeah. And like I said in our introduction, you might not think you want to visit Tucson right now.
You will after this interview.
I felt that way a couple minutes
ago. He sold us,
talking to him. I was like, I want to come see you.
Every time he spoke, Tucson was moving up our bucket list.
Okay. So this is great. We're happy to do this. You know, we're excited to introduce these new campgrounds.
And we know
to
a lot of our listeners did respond to that first interview with Dan and Aaron from In-Town Campgrounds. So we're very excited for this interview tonight with Todd Spencer. So we're very excited to be here with Todd Spencer, the owner of the Sentinel Peak RV Park in Tucson, Arizona. How you doing, Todd?
I'm doing great.
Hi,
how are
Todd.
You both?
Good,
and this
thanks.
Is the second interview in a series that we're doing with owners of more urban RV parks that are kind of located near some cool cities, kind of giving people a different
opportunity. Yeah, an exciting trend for us, too, because we want to visit all of the national parks, but we also want to visit all the cool cities in the country with our RV.
Exactly. So tell us, when are you hoping to open the park?
We're looking to open this summer in late June or early July.
Awesome. And tell us about the geography of the park. Like, where is it situated? What's the immediate area like around it?
Sure. So we're really situated in the heart of Tucson. We were attracted to this unique location because it is quite literally within about 3 minutes of over 300 restaurants, shops, and attractions, including golf. We are at the foot of a mountain, and it gives us a great opportunity to also take advantage of the new light rail service that is offered in Tucson that lets people explore a lot of the arts and entertainment districts. So we are really at the heart of it all.
Now, that sounds awesome. Now, did you know that light rail would be coming right by the park, or was that sort of a surprise to you?
No, we did. And actually, that was a key feature for us. You know, when we went into this, our vision was to offer our guests something more than just a place to park their RV. We wanted to offer them an experience, and an experience they couldn't have anywhere else. So as we started looking at this location, it became very clear that this was really the right place where people could come and explore and feel the culture of the city in a new way.
Tell us a little bit about the culture of the city. We're in New Jersey, and we haven't visited.
And we've never been there.
And we would love to visit.
Why should we come?
Give us some of the flavor of the city. Like, we're a family of five. We like to eat. We like the arts. What would we do if we came to visit?
Sure. Well, that's a great question. And I'll tell you, we are a family of five as well. I have three little girls ranging from 2 to 11 in age. And we are constantly looking for those types of opportunities. One of the things that's exciting about this is it really gives guests an opportunity to build their own itinerary around the arts and entertainment features that they want. And I'll give you some quick examples. With access to the light rail, there are five districts within Tucson that you have immediate access to, which are the Mercado District, sort of an old Spanish hacienda style area, bakeries, and a lot of local flair, down-home Mexican restaurants, things of that nature that would be very unique to the area and a fun experience from a culinary standpoint. We're also along the line to the downtown district. In downtown, you have, of course, access to the convention center. You have access to a lot of the Broadway theatrical tours that come through and concert series, as well as conventions. So it adds in that element as well. The third district that you have access to is what's called the Fourth Avenue district. Fourth Avenue is the real trendy, hip area where you're going to find a lot of really unique gifts. You're going to find a lot of local flair restaurants ranging from Italian to Mexican to Indian cuisine, certainly many others there. But that would be the place you would want to go if you wanted to go hang out at a pub and listen to live music. And there are certainly lots of options in that way.
Okay, well, Todd, just I'm interrupting you for a second to tell you that I never really had Tucson at the top of my list for where we were going, and
it's just moved dramatically.
This sounds really good. All right, so what else? Go ahead, finish.
and I think this is part of the thing that the news that is starting to spread is that we really do have a lot of things to do here, and the more people come to learn about these unique districts, the more they're really starting to understand. It's sort of a choose your own adventure, right? When you come, you could literally stay for 6 months and never eat at the same place twice, staying in our park. So there's really a unique aspect there. The other two districts I would share with you just briefly are the University District. If you wanted to take in a ball game, perhaps, or you wanted to explore some of what the university has to offer on campus, perhaps you're interested in planetary sciences. We have one of the world's best planetariums here. So that's a really unique feature that you could take in. And then finally, Main Gate Square, which is just adjacent to the university. And this is sort of a pub district, if you will. So there's some very unique Irish pubs there. There's a lot of live music there and a great place for people watching.
Are you going to offer on-site babysitting so we can just leave the kids with you guys?
A boy kennel, perhaps.
We have three boys. A more serious question, though. So how do you get to the light rail from your park? Is it a walk? Is it a short drive?
Sure. It is within walking distance.
That's great.
And we also will have a free shuttle on site for those that choose not to walk. And it literally is about 90 seconds, and you're from the front entrance of our park to the shuttle point, which also coincidentally is the entry point to the Mercado District. So you have access to Tucson's only open-air public market right there. And again, Spanish hacienda-style construction and a lot of really unique opportunities to start your day with something that, again, would be very, very rich in culture from a Tucson standpoint.
Well, Todd, the city sounds awesome. So tell me now about the campground. What's it going to be like when I get back from all of these fun foodie experiences?
What's the vision for the property? What's the property going to look like?
Sure. Great question. So, in terms of our layout, we are a very small project. We'll have 23 sites, but all of our sites have been constructed by and for RVers. Everything that we've done has been with an eye to make sure that people are comfortable, that there's wide turning radius for large coaches. We can accommodate even the largest, heaviest coaches on the road. None of our pull-throughs are less than 70 feet in length. So there are some things that we've done very intentionally to give a much more comfortable feel to people who are staying. In terms of our play areas, we've done something that's very unique that neither my wife or I have ever seen before. You may be aware that Arizona has hot summers. That's a rumor, and it's true.
Have you heard that we have cold winters?
I have heard that rumor also, yes. And so one of the things that we thought about in this project was, how can we make this something that's family friendly? You know, we're catering to the RVer, we're catering to the self-contained motor coach enthusiast who may have a hard time finding a place to park, and we've done all of those things. But what about when families like my family, who have three kids, show up, and what would be fun for them to do? There is an on-site building that will have an indoor children's play area. So even in the hottest summers, you won't have issues of, you know, daddy, the swings are burning me, or mommy, the slide is too hot. And I know that sounds probably really simple and maybe silly, but coming from a family that has three kids ourselves, it was something that was very important to us. We really wanted people to be comfortable. The other thing that I would highlight is we've gone more the route of, again, quality versus quantity. And that relates right down to something as simple as our pool. You know, we could have chosen something that was very, very simple and, you know, perhaps more commercial. But we decided to go the extra step and have what's called a beach step pebble tech pool for those warm, sunny days. So you quite literally will have 50-year-old palms overhead. You'll have a lot of just very nice, kind of an oasis in the desert, if you will, where you can come back and enjoy after those long days. The other thing I would add is being at the foot of a mountain, City of Tucson does their 4th of July spectacular from the top of that mountain. So on that holiday, fireworks will quite literally be bursting overhead. And what a fun time to, you know, have a cold drink in your hand and sitting out in front of your RV just watching the fireworks with your family.
I think it's great, Todd, that you put an emphasis on the pool, because that's something that we always get out with our kids early in the day. We pack a lot in, but then we say the best thing to do with kids is to come back to the campground and relax. And like everybody just needs to unwind and chill out to avoid sort of vacation burnout. So the fact that you took some time to pay attention to that, to the comfort level of the pool, like, would suit a family like ours very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm so sold here. I can't wait to.
You're doing a good job, Todd.
So are you rolling it out in stages? Are all 23 of these sites going to be ready to go, or what?
Correct. So once we open, we will be fully operational and ready to go. Part of my background, which I think maybe has played a part in some of the development of this, is I'm a 20-year business developer in the hospitality and lodging industry, and typically have worked in hotels ranging from DoubleTrees and Sheratons up through brands like St. Regis and Ritz-Carlton. And so I really have a passion for the service industry and am always focused on what that customer experience is going to be. And that has just sort of been the career path that I've had over many years.
So you're right on target here, because we've said that campgrounds, we really feel that campgrounds are like the new sort of family resort in a lot of places for a lot of families. That's our experience as a resort for our family. We want to go there. We want to have a great time. We want to have a lot of amenities and be comfortable. We don't want to suffer, you know? So it sounds like you're right in line with that sort of trend.
Yeah, I think everybody also really wants like pretty heavy duty customer service too, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think campers today have high expectations when they pull in, which I'm sure you know already.
It's not a state park, right?
No, we actually will have full hookups.
All right.
Yes, no problems there.
Now, what's your camping background or RVing background? Did you guys do that as a family, or did you do that growing up, or was it just more that you've been in the hospitality industry and saw an opportunity for the RV park?
No, you know, funny you should ask that. So about 5 years ago, I've spent an extensive amount of time traveling by plane to travel to these different hotel destinations for work, obviously. And in that process, I thought, gosh, you know, with little kids, it sure would be nice if we could take a little time, if I wasn't traveling as far afield. We live in Arizona. Maybe the work was in San Diego. Would be nice to just take the kids with, and maybe we could make a weekend of it. And so it really was born out of this idea that I'd like to try something a little different. And I think at first my wife thought I was crazy.
Are all entrepreneurs crazy?
We've all had that feeling about our husbands, Todd.
I'm sure. And, you know, I came home one day and I said something along the lines of, hey, babe, what do you think about getting an RV? And she looked at me like I had four heads. But I have to tell you, we embraced it fully. We loaded the kids up. We loaded the cat up. And we have never looked back. In the last 5 years, we have put thousands of miles on our coach, and we just really love it. It's not an exaggeration to say that I think if I asked my kids where they would rather live, given a choice between our house and the RV, they would say the RV.
Well, I bet they're really excited about this too. Are they excited to see the campground open?
Very much so.
It probably seems like it's going to be their big playground to them right now.
I think you're right. I sort of get that vibe. They're already staking out their chairs by the pool. So.
Oh, very nice.
Awesome. Now, what is your favorite campground or RV park besides your own? Is there anyone out there you visited that was like an inspiration, or that you're modeling yourself after, or just one that you guys really loved?
You know, I appreciate that question. There is. There's one place that we have decided to go back to as a family every single year, and it's a park called Campland on the Bay in San Diego. Uh-huh. It is a very unique development that, quite honestly, I'm not sure you could even do again today. It is one of the only remaining private beaches that I'm aware of in the San Diego area. And to be able to park your RV and have full hookups and have really just your own private beach there. And it's fairly large. It's several hundred spaces. But because of the layout, it doesn't feel that way. And I think the customer service piece was really what stood out to me. They have all the usual things that you would have to support RVers, right, including a convenience store. But they have a really charming little ice cream shop. And they also have a marina, so you can rent jet skis, you can do other water sports, and a free shuttle. And I thought, this is somebody who really understands what it takes to provide a great customer experience, and coupled with such a unique location. And that was really what kind of sparked the idea that, wouldn't it be cool if we could do that same thing to get people connected with the charm and beauty of Tucson and its culture in the same way?
Wow, that's a really great story. I mean, for you to be able to go there and really pinpoint the things that made your family happy there and to try to replicate it in a totally different geographic location.
So Todd, you've actually thought about this a little
bit.
Yeah. This wasn't just like, you know, let's open an RV park. I mean,
yeah, he's got a plan.
there is a whole philosophy behind this.
Got it.
So what's on the bucket list for you guys when you get to travel again? I know you're probably really, really busy right now, but
where do you
guys want to go when you can hit the RV again?
Oh, the list is so long, right? So for me, you know, there's what a lot of RVers probably say is the Alaskan journey. That mm-hmm. would be so amazing. But I also, Donna and I both want to do the southern United States through some of the Gulf states and make our way across to Florida. We'd love to do the fall foliage in the Northeast. I'd love to do a Great Lakes drive through obviously a lot of the northeastern states there that connect to the Great Lakes. There's just such natural beauty there. I could go on and on. I think that We RVers, we have such a long list, but those are probably my top five.
All right, well, we're adding you to our top five.
Yeah, definitely.
So where fun. Now? Just give us the website. So if anyone wants to check out the website.
The website is www.sentinelpeakrv.com, and that's spelled SENTINEL. Peak RV.
Okay. We'll put that in our show notes,
we'll put a link.
Everybody can link
And
that
now, your wife is also doing a blog. Is that correct?
That's correct. She has a blog that is linked to our Facebook page, which can also be found at Sentinel Peak RV Park.
Yeah, and we really enjoyed reading the blog post. Yeah. She's doing a really nice job with that.
I just think that it's
fun
very fascinating.
To follow the story.
Yeah, to watch people try to build a campground. I mean, we always experience a campground once it's up and running, and this has just been interesting
for us. Yeah, the behind the scenes is cool. And also, the in-town campground in Nevada City, California, they're also doing a blog, and they're talking about all the behind the scenes action in terms of actually building the campground.
Yeah, it's just kind of, I mean, it's this generation. This is the way you do it, you know? You got to communicate and tell a story with people, so.
Todd, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you both for the opportunity. We look forward to seeing you.
Okay,
you
Todd, and keep us posted, because when you guys open your doors and everything, we'll share that with our listeners also.
Well, yeah, and honestly, once you open up again, we'll have you back on the show if you can find a spare second.
Yeah, we'll see how it's going. We'll touch base with you and see how it's going.
That sounds wonderful.
Okay, thank you again. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
So thanks again to Todd Spencer, the owner of the Sentinel Peak RV Park in Tucson, Arizona. And thanks to his wife, Donna, who was watching the kids while Todd gave the interview.
We understand that.
And we really can't wait to come out and visit you in Tucson.
Right.
I mean, you really sold us on coming out there.
We're eventually going to get west, and we're eventually going to meet our people.
Yeah, it's been great interviewing these campground owners.
Yeah.
We look forward to doing more interviews like this. Also, thanks to GS Media and Events for working with us on these past two RV shows. We had a blast doing the RV shows.
We did.
At both of the shows, we met some of our listeners who we'd never met before. That was really, really cool.
Yeah, and we got new listeners and people that were really interested in what we were doing and that felt like there was information there and a community there that they could identify with.
It was awesome doing those RV shows. We hope to do more. So join us next week as we do a very exciting podcast about the exciting RV industry, and we talk to exciting people about exciting things.
About exciting things. And we're going to introduce our new contest where if you calculate the number of times we say exciting,
you'll win an exciting prize.
You'll get a very exciting prize.
And actually,
prize.
We do have an exciting interview coming up next week. Phil
Noyes,
the author of Trailer Travel, was awesome and exciting.
A
true Californian. And we're going to be giving away some copies of Trailer Travel.
That's exciting.
We reviewed it a few weeks back. It's a great book. So join us for next week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. Thank you for listening. Drop us an iTunes review, all that other hootenanny. You know the drill.
There's the week ahead of us. Let's be exciting.
Be exciting.
Be exciting, people.